Okay, Doc has a very tolerant semi-smile on his face, but all right. What can you do? Thank you, Cousin Richard. And so, we begin Dine Momenes Bishlesha. So we're going to go through now all of the various dinim and what it is that is the requirement for those dinim in terms of the number of people that we have in our best. So Dine Momenes. Now, this is immediately starts us off with a problem, because after saying Dine Momenes Bishlosha, it starts talking about things that are Dine Momenes, and it mentions them separately. Gzeilot v'chavalot bishlosha. I mean, you just said Dine Momenot bishlosha. So obviously, the Mishnah is setting us up right up at the beginning to distinguish between various types of Dine Momenos. So when we're talking about Dine Momenos, there we're talking about where we've got suits, about loans, or about people that were admitting that they had chiyuvim and some, and that is all those types of cases where you've got witnesses that somebody owes you money because he took money from you in terms of loans, or he was moda himself. Those are called, in the end, halvaot or hoda'ot, which is what the Gemara is going to call them. So there we need bishlosha. We need three dayanim. Gizelot, when it comes to question of somebody stealing something, or maybe he kept something that was given to him in the din of Shomrim, if he claimed that it was stolen, he was kefir b'pikadon totally, and he said, I never even got it from you. Or chavalot, where somebody hurt somebody, and he was chayiv in nezek, sar, sheves, ripui, boshes. We'll see whether any of that is considered to be knas, or that's considered to be straight out momon. All of those are also bishlosha. So that means that there are two separate sets of Dine Momenes, and they're not all included in one set, and we're going to have to distinguish between them. Why is there this difference between halvaot v'hodaot on the one hand and the cases of gzeilot v'chavalot on the other? And we're going to see that it actually revolves around this question. Do you need smuchim in all of these cases? And which would mean that in order to have a loan being judged in a court, you're going to have to find yourself a court that is really roy to be done. And therefore, we're going to see that actually the dinim are separated because the Chachomim made a takana to make it easier to recoup money that was owed you because of a loan and make it easier again for the free flow of money. So we're going to be talking about that in the Gemara. And there's another point. The other point is that where it is that we learn out this halacha in the first place, that there's a din of smuchim, comes from the language in the Pasuk that uses the word Elohim. So calling a judge or calling a Bezdin an Elohim is very suggestive of its having the actual presence of the Shekhinah that is referred to by that term. And therefore, whatever it says, Ada Elohim Yavod Varshneyam, or it says, V'nikrav Ba'al Abayit El Elohim, or it says, Asher Yashin Elohim Yishalim Shnayim L'Reyehu, three times in that parsha, it says the word Elohim, calling the Bezin Elohim. And that's the Elohim Bidvar Mishpat, which means that you have a three dayanim merumas in each one of these Elohims, and the entire mocker of that halacha is actually not in terms of halvaot, but it's, at least it doesn't seem to be, as we'll see, and it's all about people stealing from you, keeping money that was given to them. Maybe that has part of the explanation there about why the Mishnah is talking about the difference between them up front. Then we have other cases as well. So, nezek. So that dinim of nezek that we're referring to here is not chavalot, because that would be nezek for people, but this is the nezek of a shor. So we say, the shor hamuad, then he's mishalim nezek shalim. Chatzi nezek, which is a shor tam, that hasn't gored three times yet, that he pays chatzi nezek. Tashlume kefel, These are all, remember, where you pay differently than what it was that the damage was, has dinim of kanasais. Tashlume keifa, where you pay double because you stole something. This is the burglar. He pays double. Tashlume arba'a v'chamisha is similar to cases of geneva, but it's talking about two very specialized cases. Remember, the geneva of a shor or seh, and you went ahead and you shechted that shor or seh, or you sold that shor or seh. So then there's a halacha chamisha bakar, yishalem tachas ashor, and arba, you pay tzon tachat haseh. So we call that always arba'a v'chamisha. Those are two very special cases that also require the dinim of shlosha. So all of these knesot require shlosha. In this case, shlosha dayanim mumchim, as opposed to the b'shlosha that we're going to see that was said at the beginning of dinim moment. It's referring to halvaot v'hodaot, which are b'shlosha, but they're not shlosha smuchim. What about cases, other cases of knas that come about through actual physical attacks? So let's say rape or pitui, where it's a rape or seduction of a na'ara betula. Specifically, the din is you pay chamishim kesev, and those are knasot, besides any actual damages that are involved. Motzi shemra, somebody who claims that he took a new wife and that she had been sleeping with somebody else, that she wasn't a virgin. And in that case, if it turns out that he was made this up, then he gets a knas, double a knas of rape, because lashon hara is worse than rape. And therefore, he would pay mea kesef. These cases require, according to Rabbi Meir, all of them require shlosha. Masha'enkin, the Chachomim say no. The case of Motzi Shemra requires eserim v'shlosha, because what he's accusing her of is adultery. And if he were able to actually prove with witnesses adultery, so there would be a chiyuv of misa, and therefore we need to deal with it as if it's a capital case, and it has to be dealt with l'chatchila with esrim v'shloshah. Now, of course, Rabbi Meir is also moda that if it turns out that there's a basis for it in the fashas, we would have to be mosiv dayanim. Chachomim, it turns out, hold, we're not mosiv dayanim because that looks very bad for the original bezdim. What's the matter? This bezdim is no good. We had to bring other people in. Okay, but these machlokas, so we'll see in the Gemara. So all of these would be depending on Rabbi Meir the Chachamim, all of them would require three, or just the first two. What about makot? Somebody was over on any lo ta'aseh, tashiyesh bo ma'aseh. So he gets in Besdin an onesh of malchus, which is either the maximum medically allowable, or 39 lashes. So that's a Besdin, shlosha dayanim, that require also smicha. Bishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, no. To give a person makas is like killing the guy. For that, you would need esrim v'shlosha, and we treat it exactly the way we would treat a capital case. Why is this true? So one of the most famous drushes that we have that we're going to be looking at in this particular context is the fact that the Torah compares someone who's chay of misa to someone who is Chayav Malkus because of the famous Gezeirah Shavah of Rosha Rosha. So the din of Malkus is called Vahaya im bin hakot ha-rasha. And then we have someone who's Chayav Misa is referred to as Lo tikhu kofer lenefesh rotzeach shehu rasha lamut, which means that whatever dinim apply to the Rosha of bin hakot ha-rasha, they have to be the same as that which would be applied to the Rasha Lamut. If that's the case, it requires 23. That's one approach in the Gemara. Okay, there's other approaches as well. Rav has another approach that's talking about that Marcus is B'makam Misa, and that is all to be discussed later on. All right. Now, there's other... Well, I'll get into it later. Okay, I don't want to do too much in the Mishnah. What about Ibur HaKodesh? Now, the Gemara says Ibur HaKodesh doesn't really mean Ibur HaKodesh, because Ibur HaKodesh is mashma to make the Chodesh longer, whereas in actuality, it's to make the Chodesh shorter. In other words, if nobody does anything about a Chodesh, then what happens is automatically it's the 31st day that's going to begin the next Chodesh, no matter what. So the Ibur HaKodesh would be that in order to be Mekabel Edim, that saw the Chodesh Bizmanai, and to make the necessary astronomical calculations to see that that is, in fact, what we would have expected and take as a reality, requires also a Besdin of Shleisha, and then they would make the 30th day Rosh Chodesh instead of the 31st day. And that's what we're referring to over here, even though we call it Ibur HaChodesh. In a sense, it's really the opposite. What Ibur HaChodesh means is Kiddush HaChodesh on the day of that would have otherwise been the Ibur. Okay, and then that is not agreed by everybody because that is Divrei Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir is the one who holds that we have Bishlosha. The thing is, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, that really, Ibur HaChodesh, Ibur HaShana, sorry. Ibur HaShana is Bishlosha also, Dinah's Rebbe Meir, whereas Reb Shimon Ben Gamliel Omer, Bidi Avad, we're going to see you actually could be Ma'aber the Shana, which means adding the extra month. But you're not supposed to do it that way. And actually, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, you start Bishlosha. So you examine whether we ought to even start working on this and appoint a special Besdin to begin the analysis, because it's a very complex analysis that takes into consideration not only astronomical data, but it takes into consideration the plating for the coming years, for the rainy seasons. It takes into consideration all types of economic hardships, all types of growth, agricultural questions, when certain products are going to be able to be brought to market, and how that's going to affect the economy, and whether there are people that are still traveling, and so, things like that. It's a very complicated din. So before we even bring a Besdin together for that, we first have a pre-din. The pre-din, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, is the Bishlosha. And with that, we're matchilim whether we need or don't need to put together this Besdin for this purpose. So that's our first discussions. If one person says no and two persons says yes, so then we start the actual diyun and we bring together more people. We now have five people. And bechabisha nosim venotnim, about whether it requires actually ibur, and that also, we take a vote on that. And then, if it turns out that they feel we do, then gomrim b'shiv'ah, we bring seven people in, and then we actually do it. So this, Gemara talks about that this is keneged even birchas kayanim, because these are the three psukim birchas kayanim, right? Yivarech Hashem v'yishmerecha. Three words, five words, seven words. So this way we have the, so to speak, the bracha, that's going to be the bracha in the year that we're being mechadesh. Fine. But halacha l'maisa im gomru b'shlosha. If l'maisa, before we did it right, it was so obvious that we had these needs up front that we actually did it right like that, then the halacha would be that b'di'avad, it is mi'uberet, you don't need to do any more than that. That's how we paskin, like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Of course, as we know, that's the rule. Smichat zikini varifat egla, the Egla Rufa. So Smichat Zekenim actually is Merames, according to the Gemara, for Smichat Zekenim, which means being Semech Zekenim, which is what we've been talking about, giving Smicha. But that's not what it really means. It's a Remez. But the Pashtus of what it's referring to is the fact that there are two places where we need the Ziknei HaEda to actually do Smicha on a Korban. So one is that if you have Karbonas HaTzibur, which normally don't need smicha, unless you're talking about Yom Kippur, which you do need, because that is need with the Kohen Gadol. But there's one other that you need the actual Besdin. And where's that? The Par Helam Tavash HaTzibur. So if a Besdin HaGadol makes a mistake, and because of that, the Rov HaTzibur does this mistake, so they have to bring a carbon par, and that requires smicha. So this is what we're calling smichat zikenim of the par ben bakalach hatat, the par helam dover shel tzibur. And that's done in the Sanhedrin, and that has to require shlosha smuchim. So it says over there, the lashon of the samchu, ziknei eda, and from there we learn wherever we have a double lashon of rabbim, it's always two, and we have our klal, ein bez din shokol, and you need to therefore have at least three. That's what we call by smicha sakinim, and we also have the egla rufa, in which we do the measurement of which town is closest to a body that was found out on the street, and then we call the zakenim, and they have to come, and they have to bring a korban. So this is what we're talking about when we say the egla arufa. So the question over here is, are we talking about the measurement, or are we talking about the actual arifa, which is cutting the neck from the back of the egla? So there it says, v'yatzu zakenecha v'shoftecha, and they're madadu, umadadu elarim. So the closest one, the medida, is the shita of Reb Shimon, that the medida is shlosha from Sanhedrin, because of the yatsu zikenecha. So even though the Mishnah says the arifa, it doesn't really mean arifa, according to him. Whereas Reb Yehuda emer b'chamisha, what you're talking about, the smicha zikenim, he darshan zikenecha shoftecha, is a lashon of four. And because of that, ein bezin shokol, so you need to have five. So we have a lashon of rabbim, the somchu, and ziknei. Or begla rufa, we have zikenecha and shoftecha. Okay, another machlokas. So we've had bate dinim of three, bate dinim of five, bate dinim of seven, so far in our Mishnah. Chalitza.
All the other cases for four smichot, meaning that they weren't smichot, that were just ordinary judges. It's in a smicha. Is there a distinction between these three?
No, you're getting confused. Smicha means putting your hand on an animal. That doesn't have anything to do with smicha. I did mention before that the Gemara says that it's a remez to literally smicha zekeni. In order to be able to give smicha to, which doesn't mean putting your hand on anymore, although it did mean at the time of Yehoshua, but now it means, like we read yesterday in the Rambam, you announce with three dayanim that we're calling you Rebbe and that you have a reshus to be done the dinim and to paskin these halakas and to be done dinei knosis and so on. That's a remez to smicha sekenim. But it's not telling you whether you need smuchim. All of these you need smuchim, except for the first one, which we said was a special takona in order to facilitate investments and free flow of cash. Because otherwise people, it's going to be too hard to get a case tried if you have to find a bezin of shloisha smuchim. How about chalitza? And how about miyun? So remember the din over there, of course, is, we've spent an entire mesechet on this. So if a person dies without children and he has a brother from the father that is alive, that brother has to either do the yibum on his wife or he would have to accept from her chalitza, in which he takes off his shoe and she spits in front of him and says, and so on and so forth. All of that is called chalitza, and it requires a bezdin because it says, so that means that chalitza has to take place in front of the zekenim. That's shlosha. Because zekenim, as I mentioned, lashon rabim, wherever we have lashon rabim, it's two, and we have a general halacha, ein beit din, that there cannot be a bezdin that is shokol. Shokol means that we cannot reach a vote by a majority, which will tell us how it is that we're supposed to deal with this halacha. Okay, that's chalitza. How about miyun? Miyun is a derabbanan. Concept of miyun is that when you have a child, a female child, who is too young to accept kedushin on her own. So remember, normally a father is able to be mekabel kedushin for his daughter. What happens if she doesn't have a father? She could not have a father legally because of the fact that maybe he had sold her, she had once been married. That's called a yitoma b'chayeavia. So she would be a functionally fatherless girl. And she could actually have had a father who died, and then she would not have anybody to be mekabel kedushin for her. So the Chachamim created a concept of kedushin for a ketana in order to avoid child abuse of people who take advantage of a ketana. So because of that, they said, let's let her have a man who will be married to her, and he'll take care of her, and he won't allow her to be approached by just anybody. Now, obviously, that opens its own door for abuse, because this person could be abusive. So because of that, the Chachamim made the takana that a marriage that is only a drabonin of a ketana does not require any kind of get in order to cancel it. All it requires is for her to appear in front of a court and say, I don't like this guy, I don't want him to have anything to do with me. She walks out on him, and they issue a court order to get away from her, and they protect her. So fine, that is miyun. So even though it's a drabanan, but remember, whatever the rabbanu were mitaken, koma shatiknu, ein dioraita tiknu, and therefore they gave it the same din as if it would be an actual halacha of a deoraisa, and they gave it also halacha of requiring a bezdin of shlosha, even though there's no get, but it still has to be, even though midioraisa, it's nothing, and it's all a takana, because kol masha tiknu, kimi ein deoraisa tiknu. Moving on. Neta ravoi, maaser sheni, sheindam av yiduim. We also have the need for a psak of a professional bezdin of assessors in certain cases where they have to define how much is necessary in order to be mekayim halacha. So let's take a case where neta ravoi, remember what neta ravoi is, fourth year produce, it has a din of maaser sheni, you are mechuyev to eat it in Yerushalayim, or alternatively, you can be poda it, take the money, and then spend that money on food in Yerushalayim. So the halacha is that when it comes to neter avoy, as opposed to the din of regular maaser sheni, which has the same halacha of you need to eat it in Yerushalayim, but there's a special problem that comes up. The maaser sheni, you just see whatever the food is worth. When it comes to neter avoy, the pidyon has to be minus the costs. So since it has to be minus the costs, you need a professional bezdin that tells you what this ought to be worth and how much you need to be spending on going up to Yerushalayim to eat this stuff minus your costs. So there are cases, even in maaser sheni, where you would also need a bezdin. Where would that be? Where you kept the peiros around too long, they rotted, and now it's difficult to define what the value is of this stuff. For that, you also need to have three people that are able to estimate special cases, but in normal cases where there's a market that provides prices on the market, there you don't need a bezdin at all. How about hekdesha? Somebody was magdish something to the Beis HaMikdash. Here we're talking about not to the Mizbeach. He was magdish things for the Beit HaKabayit. So he gave his TV to the Beit HaKabayit. So how do we estimate what it is that he would have to pay Hagdash if he is going to be paid in this from the Beit HaKabayit? That requires also a professional shuma. Arachin, if you're talking about Arachin of Metaltalim, is Bishlosha. So we understand this to mean that if somebody said, Erechi alai, or Erech ploni alai. Where over there, the Torah defines very clearly, according to his age and according to his sex, how much does he own the Beis HaMikdash? And he gives to pay for it, not cash, but he can pay also with mitaltalim. Suppose he gives his cell phone. How much is that cell phone worth? That requires the Shuma. In the same way that the direct donation of the TV set requires a shuma. For pidyon, Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, since in the parsha of the Hekdeshas, it says beferish, ke'erkecha ha-kohen, one of these people has to be a kohen. So this is a special requirement, which does not appear in the other batei dinim. So this is yet a new halacha of a special din and a bezdin, which, according to Rav Yehuda, you need one of the judges to be a kohen. How about if somebody gave karkaot? He was magish karkaot. He wants to be poda karkaot or repaid with karkaot. How do we estimate there? There we need 9 plus a kohen. So over there we darshan it from the pasuk that it mentions actually time after time after time. It mentions the kohen, and we'll see the machlokas in the Gemara how we end up in miyat achar miyat ela the rabbis. But in any event, if it comes to an Adam in that case, you would need to define what an Adam is worth. Somebody, we're not talking about Erechin, we're talking about, because Erechin, the Torah, defines the worth. We're talking about the Damim. Damim means what this person would be worth on an open market for human trade. And that requires also experts. So Adam Kayot Sebehem has a din of karka, not a din of metatlim. And we learned that avonim have a din of karka. Of course, as we've seen many times, v'itnachaltem otam livnechem achreichem l'reshet achuza, from which we see that we've given it the same halacha that we give to karka. So there's actually 10 times in a row, amazingly, that it talks about either v'chishava kohen, v'ericha kohen. Anyway, 10 times it says kohen, and we learned that one of them is legufe, and then we have ein miyat achar miyat, ela l'rabbis, which means that even though it says 10 times kohen, it does mean you need 10 dayanim, but only one of them has to be a kohen, because otherwise we would have been marba all of them, but ein miyat miachar miyat. Here, ela l'rabbis, even the Yisrael. Now, moving on to bigger batei dinim. So what we've talked about until now was 3 and 5. And 7, and 10, and special Kohen's 3, and Kohen 10, partially. How about a dine nefashot when it comes to capital cases? Then we need a bezin of esrim vishlosha. Where do we get that from? That we get from the amazing pasuk of vehitzilu ha'eda. On the one hand, the Torah says that you're supposed to make sure you have the vishoftu ha'eda, and you have the Yitzilo Eida. We know that whenever it says Eida in the Torah, it means 10 people, because we learned that out from the Meraglim, Ad Matai HaEida HaRa'ah Hazot. So if you need to have 10 people that are Shavtu, and you need to have 10 people that are the Yitzilu, that brings us all the way up to 20. As we're going to see, since the Torah says you're not allowed to be no to the din that is capital, al pi dayan echad, it turns out that the minimum hachra'ah that you could have, if you still have the eda shofetet and eda matzelet, would require a hachra'ah of 2, which means that it would have to be a total of 23 in the bezdin. So, there we need esrim v'shlosha, as we're going to figure out later on. Haroveya, so if you have a shor. Now remember, we treat a shor as a human because the Torah compares the baalim to the shor. So in these two areas, sexual assault on the part of the shor, or sexual partnership on the part of the shor, or attack by the shor that actually results in the death of a human, we treat the shor as if it's a human, and we have to give the same bezdin of esrim v'shlosha when it comes to roveya, which is the active partner in a sex crime case, or a nirba, which is the passive partner, be'esrim v'shlosha. That's because she'nemar, it says, puts together the din of isha she'tikra v'kol be'imal ravauta, the end of the pasuk is v'harakta ta isha ve'eta be'ima, which means that we're comparing the isha to the be'ima. And in the other case, it says v'isha she'iten shchafto be'ima, etc. ve'eta be'ima ta'arogo. So there too, the v'et compares the be'ima to the male and compares the v'harakta ta isha ve'eta be'ima to the female. That means if for the human, you need 23, for the shor, you need 23. How about a shor haniskal that had killed a human? A shor haniskal also is be'esrim v'shlosha, because there too we have a shor yisakel, the gam ba'alav yumat, and the gam ba'alav yumat puts together the dinim of one on the other. Kimitat ha-ba'alim, kach mitat ha-shor. Just like the ba'alim is only a bestin of Esrim v'shlosha, so too the shor is only a bestin of Esrim v'shlosha. In cases where you have animals that have been trained, like a ze'ev, ari, adov, anamer, v'abardeles, v'anachash, so you've got these trained animals, they may be personally trained circus animals, but they're generally wild animals, and in the end, this bear attacks someone, kills someone, there too it has the same din as the shor and the mitatan, or be'esrim v'shlosha, because these are called b'nei tarbut. Rabbi Eliezer says, no such thing. I don't trust the b'nei tarbut. That would be like calling a mechabel a ben tarbut. It's more a din of shoot on the spot. And therefore, kol ha-kodem lahargam zacha. Whoever gets to kill them first was mekayem a big mitzvah, and he was zecha in this mitzvah, preventing dangers to society. Rabbi Akiva says, you need esrim v'shlosha, and Rabbi Akiva actually is not the same as the Tanakhama, because as the Gemara works out, Rabbi Akiva actually holds that when it comes to the Nachash particularly, he paskins like Rabbi Eliezer, and he's only agreeing with the Tanakhama when it comes to the Ze'ev and the Ari and the Dov and the Namer and the Bardalis, that yes, but a Nachash is always considered to be too dangerous for keeping around. So a poisonous snake is anybody, Rabbi Akiva agrees, is mekayem a mitzvah in just getting rid of him. Ein danim lo et hashevet velo et hanavi hasheker velo et hakohen gadol el al pibezes shivim v'echad, moving up from the threes and the fives and the sevens and the tens and the specials and the 23s all the way up to the bezes gadol of shivim v'echad. If you're being done an entire shevet, where we have the rove of the shevet may have worshipped Avodah Zarah b'mezid, as opposed to just a single city. So then you need a bezdin agadol. And that's because when it comes to the yachid, so we darshan v'otzeta ta'ishahu, o et ta'isha'ahi el sha'arecha. So the sha'arecha, remember we spoke about bezdin shibba sha'arecha, that's a bezdin of esrim v'shlosha. But since it says only ha'isha hu, ha'ishahi, that means when it comes to be taking out someone who is not just an ish ve'isha, but is the rabbim, that requires more than el sha'arecha. So therefore, in these cases, including the case of the Navi Sheker, including the case of a Kohen Gadol, not any din of a Kohen Gadol, but an Achiyam Misa of a Kohen Gadol, has to be al pi beis bezdin shel shivim ve'echad. We learned this out, ki yipaleh mimcha davar, and the Navi is asher yidaber bishmi. And remember that dover ha-gadol, v'ayakol ha-dover ha-gadol yaveh v'echa, Moshe Rabbeinu was told, and these are the widarshin dvorim shel gadol. So the Navi, the Kohen Gadol, they need to be brought to the gadol, which is the shivim ve'echad, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is b'makom shivim ve'echad. Ein motzin l'milchemet harishut, el al pi beit din shel shivim ve'echad. You cannot declare a national campaign of war if it's not one of the milchemes mitzvah, it's not for capturing Eretz Yisrael, it's not for a defense action against an attack against Eretz Yisrael, but rather it's for purposes of expansion or for purposes of putting under control the people around Eretz Yisrael so that they'll have more respect for you, whatever it is. For that, you cannot just, the government cannot announce, Milchamas Amalek, which would obviously be Milchamas Mitzvah. So any of these other types of Milchamot require a Bezdin HaGadol of Shimon Ve'echad to be able to declare war. If a king wants to go out to war on his own, and people want to volunteer to fight with him, that may be something else. But he cannot force people, as the Lashon of the Rambam, to be kaif for people to go out to war and to have a draft or anything like that. For that, you need to have the Bezdin. How about if you want to add area to the city of Yerushalayim or to the Azores of the Beis HaMikdash? Now, those areas are defined as having very different dinim in terms of who's allowed to come into them and what is your type of hektash you're allowed to eat there, kachim kalim, even kachim kachim. So these are functions of a kedusha that is given to the Beis HaMikdash itself or to Yerushalayim. How do you define the boundaries? If you want to add to the size of Yerushalayim or you want to add to the size of these Azarais, you would need a Bezdin Shel Shiv'im Ve'echad, because we compare this to Kikol Asher Ani Mar'eh Otcha Et Tavnit HaMishkan, and then at the end it says V'chein Ta'asu, and we darshan V'chein Ta'asu means v'chein ta'asu l'dorot, which means that just like we had Moshe Rabbeinu k'chol asher ani mareh otcha, so too we need Moshe Rabbeinu b'mokom shivim v'echad, as I made, and the v'chein ta'asu l'dorot requires the shivim v'echad. Whoa. Ein osim ir hanidachat el al pi bezdin shel shivim v'echad. So this is also a special halacha. We have most of a city that ended up worshiping Avodah Zarah, and it says over there, Hakei takei et yoshvei yirahi lifi chorev, hachareim, and so on and so forth. Burn kol shlala, vaita tel olam, lo tibaneo. That halacha requires a bezdin shel shivim ve'echad, again, because we had before the pasuk. Votseita ta isha ruo ta ishahi, mashma arabim, you cannot be motzi el sharecha, which is esrim v'shloisha, you need shivim ve'echad.
Did Rebbe mention Ein Osim Sadeh? Nope. We skipped that one.
I'm sorry, did I skip one? Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Ein Osim Sanhedriot Lishvatim Ela Alpi Bezdin Shal Shivim Ve'echad. So in order to be Koveya, the Bezdin of Esrim Vishrosha, you require a Bezdin of Shivim Ve'echad to appoint those Sanhedrin, because we find that that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. His entire Eitzah was appointing the entire court system. So it all came first from Moshe Rabbeinu, which means Moshe B'mokam Shivim Ve'echad. Sorry about that. Ir Anidachat, Shivim Ve'echad. Once we're on the topic of Ir Anidachat, there are certain areas that are off limits for Ir Anidachat. And Ein Osim Ir Anidachat. Bisvar, if you have a city that's on the border, you can't turn that into an Ir Anidachat, because the actual presence of the city is part of the defense of Eretz Yisrael, and that is too dangerous to have a place where you've torn down a city in Eretz Yisrael, and now the Goyim can take advantage of that. And you can't, in any place, make three cities of next to each other an Ir Anidachat, a giant Ir Anidachat, but you can do one or two. Ava osim, achat, oshtayim, but if it's near the border, you can't even do, as we said, achat. Sanhedri, Yedola, now moving on now, let's define that Bezdin HaGadol. The Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim was 71 judges, and a Bezdin B'Sha'arecha, which we call the Sanhedri Kitana, is 20 Vishlosha. I just want to mention to you a fascinating diuk in the Rambam, in which the Rambam speaks about the Sanhedrin that was on the entryway into the Harabais. And part of the entry into the Beis HaMikdash and by the Azores, they are Batei Dinam of Esrim Vishlosha, but he doesn't call them Sanhedrin Ketanas. They are like extensions of a filtering system before coming to the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, which is a different, means that there's actually a different type of Bezdin of that type. And we'll see more about it when we get to the sugya. How do we know that a Gedola is 71? Because it said, Beferish in the Torah, Esfali, 70 Ish, Mizikna Yisrael, and Moshe was the one who was Al-Gabayim. He was the one who was said, told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to collect the 70, which gives you, and it says, Beferish, V'nasu Itecha, with you together, B'masa'am, which means that together we have Hare Shivim Ve'achat. Rev Yehuda says, no, V'nasu Itecha doesn't mean they have to be on the court with you. It's a way of telling us what type of dayanim are kosher. And nasu itcha means domim lecha, which means they have to be similar to you with a proper yichus, and they have to have no mumim. and things that we learn out from there. But Moshe Rabbeinu himself was not part of the Beis Din, and it's only Shiv'im. And how do we get 23? Because since it says by the Parsha of someone who murdered, it says, V'shaftu ha'eda ben ha'makeu ben goel adam, v'hitzilu ha'eda tarotzeach mi'ad goel adam. So then we need an eda shofetet. That means we need 10 people to be in a position of demanding that he be killed. And we need an Eda Matzelet. We need 10 people, as we'll see in a moment why 10. We need a separate Eda that would also be available to say that he should not be killed. That means you need at least 20 people to start with. How do we know that when it says Eda, it's referring to 10 people? And the two mentions of Eda and Veshavta V'Yitzilu makes 20. Because by the Meraglim, it says, Ad Matai Le'Eda Hara'ah Hazod. And we know that there was 12 Meraglim, but Yoshua the Kalev were not considered to be Eidah Ra'ah Hazot, leaves us with 10. Where do we get the other three from? That's only 20. Minayin Lavi Od Shlosha. So meanwhile, we're going to learn out a special halacha by the way. Because Mimashmah Shenemar, since it says in the Pasuk, Lo Tiye Acharei Rabin Lira'ot. You cannot follow a majority opinion to hurt a defendant. So that should mean that if you have a majority opinion that says that he's putter, then we will follow that majority opinion, and that's the end of the case. Why then would the Torah have to repeat acharei rabim lahatot? So what it's telling me is that you, of course, you paskin, but you don't paskin based on the same majority. You do not paskin l'ra'ah based on a simple majority. Therefore, it's coming to tell me there are two different hatayot. Lo ka hatayatcha l'tova, hatayatcha l'ra'ah. We're not going to paskin the same way if we're going to end up with a capital punishment. And therefore, when it says hataya in ra'ah, hatayatcha l'tova, yes, there it says that you can be mate acharei rabim. Acharei rabim latot means if you're going to say the person is not chayev, then a simple majority is enough. But atayatcha l'ra'ah would have to be more than a simple majority, and you would need lo ti acharei rabim lira'ot. You cannot be chayev in a capital case where you only have a simple majority, in which case you need to have two additional. So if you already have 20, you need to have at least two more. But we have our klal. You cannot have an equally divided Beis Din. So therefore, you have to be Mosif Odechad. Gives us 23 Mosif Maleim Odechad, because Ein Beit Din Shakul, Arekan Esrim Vishlosha, Kama Yehei Be'ir. And how many people in population size would you need in a city in order to be able to appoint a Beis Din B'Sha'arecha, which is the Beis Din of Esrim B'Shlosha, called a Sanhedri Kitana? You need a minimal population of 120. And the reason we need 120 is because without that amount of population, there will never, ever be a functional case. Consider, in order to have that Sanhedri, you have to have the standard functionality of that Sanhedri. So you need 23 Dayanim. Every Sanhedrin has also in front of it three rows, each one of Esrim V'Shlosha, of potential Dayanim who are called the Talmidim and who have a right to bring up issues that you've got this whole group of people. If they turn out to have what to say, they are brought up into the Sanhedrin if we need to add Dayanim, and from there they are gradually elevated from the local Batidim to the Sanhedrin Gedela when their turn comes around. So we need, first of all, three additional rows of 23 besides the original 23. We need 10 people that are called the Asara Batlanim Bebeit HaKnesset. So there needs to be a constant minion that's available for public needs in a Beis HaMedrash. You need to have two sofrim, as we mentioned in the halacha, that will be writing down the tainas of the Batei Dinim so that the court secretaries can always reconstruct those dinim. Now, you also are going to need the shoftim. So you need at least two people to give malkas or to go out and serve people with either subpoenas or to enforce the halacha in the streets and so on. So you need the two shoftim, essentially. And then you've got a functional court. Well, what's the court going to do? You still need two people that are going to be fighting with each other in court, so you have to have a minimum of two additional people. One defendant and one person is bringing suit, and one person is defending against the suit, so that's two. Then you need two witnesses. But two witnesses aren't kosher unless they could be found to be Edim Zomimim. So we need to have two Edim Zomimim. But those Edim Zomimim, we don't accept their testimony unless they're in charge, in danger of being found Zomimim. So we need Zomimei Zomimim. And therefore, we also will need the functional city, which includes two Gabaim to collect tzedakah, three, which is one additional, to give out the tzedakah, because we require three people to give it out because of the klal and peah, remember. Tzedakah is collected by two, but it's given out by three. You cannot have a city without a doctor. We don't allow a city without a medical services, so you've got to have at least one doctor. We do not allow cities without schools, and therefore you must have at least one teacher. So you have to have your little red schoolroom. That's your Malame Tinokot. We need to have one sofer. Put them all together, and you magically come up with 120 people. So a minimal requirement to have one case in your court is 120 people. Now we can have a Besdin of Esrim Vishlosha. Brilliant. So that's your minimum population. Rabbi Nechemya Eimer? No, you're actually going to need 230, because you have to have a minimum level of authority of Sareya Sarot, right? Sareya Sarot, that was the minimum. So if you have 23 Sareya Sarot, you have to have 230, because it's the Sareya Sarot, including himself, in that minion. Wow. Okay, so that's our first Mishnah, which is actually the entire first Perek. Bezrat Hashem, then, we'll see you tomorrow. This gives you plenty of time for Chazorah, getting clear that Mishnah, and remember, tomorrow we're going to have to figure out what those first words in the Mishnah mean. What is the difference between Dine Mamonis and these Gezeilos V'Chavolos, and on the other hand, the Halvaot and the Hoda'ot? So that will open up the question about Dayanim Mumchim, Dayanim Utsmicha. Let's just remember the opening words of the Mishnah, because they were very confusing. Take a look back there. Dine Mamonis B'Shlosha seems to be a general blanket statement, right? Anything that has to do just with issues of financial questions, you need three dayanim for. Then it goes on to say, Gizelot v'chavalot b'shlosha. So if you steal money, I mean, I don't know if you steal money, it sounds like it ought to be part of the whole issue of dinei momenes. And chavalot, where you're going to owe money for causing damages to a person, which would include, you know, any of those things that are part of the, let's say, Shomri. So you were mechabel in him by not watching his things. I mean, that's a type of dinei momenes, and chavala of the guf is stealing money from him because you've lessened his value. So, I mean, why don't we just say dinei momenes b'shlosha, or use one or the other? That was the question. And let's take a look today at a number of possible answers to that question. Ask the Gemara, Otu gizelot v'chavalot lav dinei momenes ninu, why are you separating this out into two separate things? Are you telling me that it's not considered to be dinei momenes with the fact that you caused stealing from him and you injured him, and that's not a question of money? Omer Rabbi Abo, yes, of course it is. The Mishnah is introducing first the set of things, and it's calling them dinei momenes. Now it's coming to explain, what do I mean to include with that dinei momenes? I mean to include gezeilot v'chavalot. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Mahin dinei momenes gezeilot v'chavalot. It obviously comes to tell me that only gezeilot v'chavalot are included in this set. But I do not mean to include other dinei momenes, such as admitting to owing money or having witnesses coming and saying that you owe money, for some reason, that's not included in the Mishnah's rule. Meaning what? That's not clear at all. Meaning you don't need three dayanim for that? So that we're going to see. But it's an awfully odd way to say things. Couldn't you just say, if that's what you want to tell me, that gezelot v'chavalot need three dayanim? I mean, why do you have to first say dinei mamonos b'shlosha and then say, what I mean is gezelot v'chavalot? It's awfully clumsy, isn't it? Well, no. I need to say it this way. Why? Because itan dinei mamonos. Let's say I just would have said the opening statement, giving you the name of the set, dinei mamonos. Well, that certainly wouldn't have been good enough, because then if the name of the set is the name ominous, so certainly it would include loans, right? But I don't want it to include loans. That's why I not only give the name of the set, but I also define it. I say it's things like gizelot v'chavalot. On the other hand, you're asking me, so just say so for heaven's sakes. Why do you have to first give it that name? Because if I would have said straight out, gizelot v'chavalot, v'lo katani dine momonos, somebody might think that actually the name of the set is gizelot v'chavalot, meant to include all types of things that are dine momonos. And you'd ask yourself, but that's ridiculous. Why would somebody call the name of the set gizelot v'chavalot when the point of the set would be dine momonos? That doesn't make any sense. So how would someone make that mistake? I'll tell you how. It's very simple. You know where the Torah actually teaches the din that you need to have three dayanim? Because the place that I derive that from is the area not of hoda'ot v'halva'ot, but rather specifically gizelot v'chavalot. And I will show you why I say this. So in order to avoid that mistake, and not to think it's the name of the set, which would also include the hoda'ot v'halva'ot, I need to say it to you twice. The name of the set is, in fact, the dine momonos. The question is, which of the dine momonos do I want to include? Well, I want to only include in that set the gezelot v'chavalot. That way I make it very clear that I'm excluding gezelot, halva'ot, and I'm excluding hoda'ot. Now, here's why I say that we would have made the mistake of thinking that it made perfectly good sense to give the name of this entire set, gezelot v'chavalot. Why? Mishum de'ikar shlosha, gezelot v'chavalot ketiveh. Look, the Mishnah, point of the Mishnah is coming to tell me that you need three dayanim. And if the only place that I derive that halacha, that you need three dayanim, is, in fact, from the whole parsha that talks about shomrim, and in the context of those shomrim, it says that a shomer says, I don't owe you this, it was stolen. And that's referring to a shomer chinam. So he's a toin ta'anat ganav. So what does it say in the pasuk? So, im lo yimatzei haganav, v'nikrav ba'al habayit el ha'elohim, im lo shalach yado b'mlechet reyehu. Now, when it uses the word Elohim, it's using the lashon of a beis din. And this is a professional beis din, an Elohim, representative of the concept of din. The next pasuk right after that says, "Al kol dvar pesha asher yomar ki hu zeh ad Elohim yavod v'ashnehem," and then it repeats, "Asher yarshion Elohim yishalem shnayim l're'eu." So from there we learn out the halacha of paying kefel. You pay double, and you even pay kefel if you claimed that something was stolen and you were a shomer, and it turned out that you yourself had kept it. So that even though you think, well, what's the difference if I kept it claiming it was lost or if I kept it claiming it was stolen? So we have this new halacha. Toein ta'anat ganav becomes the equivalent of an actual ganav. Three times uses the word Elohim. So in that context, yes, I know three judges because each one of those Elohims is one judge. And therefore, I want to call the name of the set. I would have thought that we want to call the name of the set Gezelot v'chavalot just because people should remember that. Therefore, the Mishnah comes along and says, no, the name of the set is in fact the name ominous. Now, I'm telling you, in that set, do not make the mistake of including halva'ot, and which would, of course, also mean that the Edim came to say you took a loan, or Hoda'ot, which is the same idea, but where you come and admit to someone in front of witnesses that you owe the money. That's why it repeats it. Okay, so let's say that that's the case. Then I don't understand the next piece, okay? Because, look, I understand that the din of chavalot, even though it's not mentioned over here. So that's true also that I need three, because what's the difference whether we're talking about walking away with his money, which is what the shomer does, or I damage him in terms of his body? That I understand is a damaging act. Masha ain't came the halvaot and the hodaot. I would not include. That's why we first tell us, look, what are we talking about? The klal, the name of the set, dine momenes. What's included in that set? Tana mahin dine momenes, that you would understand that it's uniquely gezelot v'chavalot, not mentioning gezelot chavalot as a model for all dine momenes, but rather hodaot v'halvaot do not require this. I don't know what they don't require, but they don't require the same requirements that you have with the other case of gezelot v'chavalot. That's what I understand so far. Can you explain what you mean? I mean, you say does not include. Does not include for what? You don't need three judges or what? So when you say it's excluded, what do you mean? Lamai. Ilema deloba inan shlosha. Do you mean that you do not need three judges for the other types of dinim ominous that I'm telling you don't include? Loans. You got a question about a loan? The guy claims he paid back a loan. You say he didn't pay back a loan. So those things don't need three judges? But Rabbi Abbo himself, now Rabbi Abbo is the one who offered this very clumsy explanation of the Mishnah, right? Omer Rabbi Abbo, the explanation of Mishnah is that it's sort of repeating itself in order to make it very clear. This is about the Dinei Momenes. I'm not calling it that only because it happens to be. I'm not going to call it Dinei Chavalot because it happens to be that that's where we learned the Dinei Shlosha. The whole clumsy explanation. So if he himself is the one that gave that explanation, then he cannot mean that we are excluding loans because you do not need three judges for loans, because Rabbi Abbo himself actually is the one who says that according to everybody, Shnayim Shadonu Dine Momenos, if you have only two judges, then it's not considered to be a proper din at all, and their verdict is doesn't count. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's right about that, but he said that. We're going to see very soon that not everybody holds that. But according to Rabbi Abbo, it would be ridiculous for him to give an explanation of the Mishnah that contradicts his own Shita, right? Okay, so he cannot mean you don't need three judges. So then what does he mean? I'm only including the dinim of gezelot v'chavalot. That what? That need three judges? You said everything needs three judges, even hodot v'halvaot. Ah, there's an additional requirement. And that additional requirement is that Elohim also means smuchim, that they actually represent the presence of din in the world, and they are therefore samuch mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, and they carry the authority of Elohim. So therefore, when he says, but that does not apply to the other dinei momenes, such as hodaot v'halvaot, that's because you do need three judges, but they do not need to be mumchim. And that means they don't require smicha. And that's why we wanted to make sure that you don't make that mistake. Well, I don't understand how you could split up those two requirements. I mean, there's no separate requirement for three judges and separate requirement for smicha. How did you know that there were three judges? From the thrice repetitive Elohim, right? But that's also where it says smicha. Three Elohims equals three Dayanim that have smicha. So how do you come off saying that, well, you do need three, but you don't need smicha? Make up your mind. Now, what this is dependent on is that very important machlokas that we have discussed many times. The main place that we discussed it was in Bava Kamma. Now let's remember that pasuk. It's a very strange parsha in Parshat Mishpatim, the parsha of a Shomer Chino. And it says over there something that doesn't seem to make any sense. Namely, it uses the word that al kol dvar pesha asher yomar ki hu zeh. Wherever we're talking about some type of legal responsibility where someone claims, hey, this is it. What the heck does that mean? This is it. What is that? Now, we know that the meaning of that pasuk is that there is a moda b'miktzat, meaning one of the parties is saying, this is it, and the other party is saying, no, this is not it. There's more. That is called moda b'miktzat. So that's that famous parsha. Somebody admits to, let's say, you claim I owe you $50 and I claim I owe you $25. There the Torah says that, in fact, Ada Elohim Yavod Vashnehem, you have to go to the Beis Din and do what? We learn out from another pasuk. You have to take a shvua. So that we learn out from the parsha from Yitzchak. So now there's a big question. Why is that smack bang in the middle of the parsha of Shomer Chinam? Did we just get confused? Like we were talking about Shomer Chinam and suddenly we split and we start talking about another case in which a person is suing for money owed as a loan? Now, if there's a reason for us to put those two things together, then we would be forced to say, and that's the famous line, remember, which I'm sure Gavi has written down very clearly, Iruv Parshiot Katuvkan. You remember those beautiful words? This Parsha is putting together two things. One of them is talking about a straight-out case of Shomrim and Shomer Chinam. The other one is coming to tell me a general din that wherever you would have that type of argument about how much is owed and not whether it's owed, then at that point, you're going to have to take a shvua. But that would mean that whatever would apply to one of those dinim, namely that we need these three judges, would apply to the other of these dinim. Well, then we wouldn't have any basis for making a distinction between the gzeilot v'chavalot, which is the Shomer Chinam part, where we were talking about stealing and toyin neskanev and so on, and between the regular din of somebody being moted that I owe you money. That's hoda'ot and halva'ot. So if you hold that Iruv Parshiot Katuvkan, and that in fact the Torah has put together two separate dinim over here, one of them has to do with simple, I'm arguing about how much I loan and how much I don't own. So fine, then that's coming to tell me that special halacha of Meira B'Mikzas being exactly the same. But on the other hand, if you hold Ein Eruv Parshiot Katuvkan, and that the din of Moda B'Mikzat is not a mix-up of something else that has to do with taking loans and arguing about how much you owe, but rather the din of Moda B'Mikzat is a strange requirement that comes up in the relationship of a shomer. So if the shomer denies entirely that there was such an arrangement, so then he's pater. But if he admits there was such an arrangement and he still owes you part of it, some of it was stolen, whatever the case is, then there he would have to take a shvua. That would mean that this is a unique section, all self-contained, not referring to loans or anything like that. It's all talking about shomrim. Well, that was a big machlokus we had back in Bava Kamma, if you recall. So it ought to depend on how we actually understand that parsha. If the parsha is a combination of issues which puts together shomrim together with regular loans that come into court, then they would all have the same requirements. So then we would know you need three judges, and those judges need to be smuchim because they're thrice called Elohim. But if on the other hand it's only a din in gzeilot v'chavalot, which is what Rabbi Abo seems to be claiming over here, and there is no din of requiring three Elohims, therefore you do not need smicha for that Beis Din, then how could he say that you do need three? There's only one source for both of those halachas. Either that source does include the hodot v'havot, or it doesn't include it, but you can't have it both ways. That is the issue that we're asking. So let's just see that quickly inside. So what exactly does he hold? Micah Sovra Biabu over here. He holds, our Mishnah holds. Ika Sovra Iruf Parshiot Katuf Kan. So if we have a combination of the dinim of Shomrim, which are Gzelot V'Chavalot, and the dinim of Hoda'ot V'Alva'ot, so then not only do you need three judges, you need Mumchim judges. Diboy Nami Mumchim. And if he holds, this is a completely pure Parsha of Gzelot V'Chavalot, referring to the dinim of Shomrim, then if that's the case, where does he know that you need Shlosha? Shlosha Lamali. Does it say anywhere that you need three judges for Mominus? Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. It's obvious that Ka'olam, that Kasavar Iruv Parshiot Katufkan, the Tana, according to him, holds that you do really need three Midiraisa. And, I mean, Rabbi Abu said that. Two people that gave a judgment? Ridiculous, meaningless. Okay, so then that means you need three mini-rights. So then you should also need mumchim, because it's coming from the same source, namely of Iruv Parshios. And why does the Mishnah say, according to him, that do not include the dinim of Hoda'ot V'Alva'ot in this Mishnah, because there you don't need mumchim? Why is that? That it's a special takana minirabonan built on Hefker Bezdan Hefker. And who made this? This is Rabbi Chanina who taught us that. That the truth is, Devar Torah, Echa Dinei Mamonot, Ve'echa Dinei Nefashot, require, now this is Agabi, a different halacha, but the same din applies because of the same limud. Rabbi Chanina said, whatever din we find in Dinei Mamonot, in Dine Nefashos, would require the same din in Dine Mominus. Now, one of those dinim is called Drisha V'Chakira. Drisha V'Chakira means you put the witnesses through hell. And basically, they have to be able to give you the answers that you have on not only the questions of precisely what happened, precisely where it happened, precisely what time it happened, but you can also do your best to confuse them and see whether they end up being unable to answer a question that isn't really pertinent to the main questions at hand. That's called Drisha V'Chakira. That is done in order, right, V'Hitzilu Ha'eda. We're doing our best in capital cases to prevent carrying out a death sentence. And therefore, we try to mess up the testimony. Masha Enken, you would think that that wouldn't be necessarily something we would try to do in Dine Mominus, because look, in Dine Mominus, whoever is messed up, I mean, one guy's going to be losing, one guy's going to be gaining. So comes along Rebbe Chanina and says, but take a look at the pasuk. Ma'ke be'ema yishalmena, ma'ke adam yumat. That means that we're talking about both dinim of damaging an animal, which means you owe a guy money, and killing someone, which means that you are up on a murder trial. And it continues on to say, Mishpat Echad Yiyelechem. We have to treat it in exactly the same way. So therefore, that would mean that you absolutely do need to have the same kind of chiyuvim in one or the other. So why, when it came to Dine Mominus, did we get away without requiring this type of hell for witnesses? And we just get the basic information from the witnesses and we don't attempt to trip them up. So, matam amru dine mominus lo be'in andrisha v'chakira. That's a gezeira. And that same gezeira is applied over here in not requiring smuchim and making it easier to get a judgment. What is that gezeira? Kedeja lotin ol delet lifnei lovim. Once again, as we've spoken about so many times, we are absolutely committed to the free flow of investment funds. And therefore, if we're going to make the legal process not streamlined and we're going to make it possible to get a good lawyer and to drive people crazy and not be able to really get your money back in a contract, we're going to end up with the kind of mess of litigation that we have today in many societies. And that will end up putting a stranglehold on things. In order to avoid that, we made a special takana, the same takana that we made as far as the cross-examination of witnesses, not to overly cross-examine, The same takana we made not to demand smuchim. If somebody knows he can only get his money back by finding a bezdin that has three smuchim, oh my God, forget it. I'm not going to get involved in that. I'm going to have to travel many miles to go to some kind of central bezdin where I'll find that. And that is the reason that the Mishnah wanted us to be clear that dine momenis, albeit, requires shlosha, but they're not the same shlosha. Only gezeilot v'chavot require shlosha. Now, this is the way that Rabbi Abbo interpreted the Mishnah.